Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Good evening, everyone, as we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, and it's all brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 50% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Aaron Torres, Arnie Spanier, sitting in for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon on this Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, Torres.
Happy Thanksgiving, but you are already incorrect, and you haven't even said anything yet. It's not Jason Smith and Mike Harmon. It's Jason Smith and his best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, you know, that takes its toll after 4 hours. I want you to know
what?
That. So I figure I'd start saving myself a little energy.
You've been taking a toll on America for 40 years here. What is extra 4 hours?
I'm trying to be nice to you. I'm trying hard to be nice to you. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
by the way, this is a tradition like no other. We fill in every Thanksgiving for these guys.
It is. Basically, it's the Masters, and then it's Torres and Spanier filling in for Jason Smith and his best friends. So, listen, there's some things in life, even in a pandemic, even in an unprecedented year, you can set your watch to. Torres and Spanier taking you through the night whenever there's a holiday, whenever America needs us the most.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you have a good dinner?
I had a great Thanksgiving, a great dinner. Shout out to my wife. Third year in a row that she cooked some turkey. Best one yet. Proud of her.
Wow.
Every year it gets better. And we ate some great food and we had some fun, Arnie. We did. How about you?
Let me equate it to this, okay? Because I always make fun of my wife's cooking. You ever watch a play, let's say in basketball, there's 1 second left and somebody throws up full court and goes in, and you go, well, that was lucky. I think my wife got lucky today, and it made something good. Actually, we had some pecan cheesecake pie.
Woo!
Yeah, it was actually very good. I don't know. She kind of threw a bunch of ingredients together, and it came out good. Who would have thought that was going to happen? So we had that, of course, with the whole turkey, the stuffing, and the whole nine yards. So pretty much very traditional here, out here in Vermont. But we did, for some reason, my wife decided we were going to exchange gifts.
What?
Like little gifts on Thanksgiving.
I love how people are just making stuff up for Thanksgiving this year. Like, my governor said I couldn't sing on Thanksgiving this year. I don't think I've ever sung. I've never thought to have a Thanksgiving carol. We never went caroling door to door on Thanksgiving night here in my life, anyway.
Well, my wife bought me one of my favorite games, Scrabble, the deluxe version.
Wow!
Talk about an
old man gift. Good Lord!
What are you talking? It's got the little grooves in it, so the tiles don't move around, and you spin the board, so it's got a thing to spin it, so you don't have to keep turning it around. What are you talking? That's a great gift. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great gift if you're 70. I mean, it sounds phenomenal. I mean,
wow!
What is the old Rob Parker line? The breakfast buffet with a heartburn pill or something like that. That's kind of like what that sounds like to me.
Well,
it sounds fun.
You.
That's good.
Thank you. Anyway, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving out there. I know it's tough for a lot of people. You can't get together with family and friends on a lot of people out there. So I hope we can keep you entertained for the next 4 hours. Of course, Jason Smith and Mike Harmon, his best friend Mike Harmon, with the night off, well-deserved night off for Thanksgivings. And now with the cancellation of Baltimore-Pittsburgh, it's all us, Torres. Nobody watching that late game tonight. The only thing you're watching maybe is Villanova-Arizona State in college basketball, but that's about it, my friend.
Yeah, I got in here, and Alex Teichert thought it was movie time with Torres and Spanier here, and I said, get me some sports or get me death. What is that, Marie Antoinette or something? I don't know. Give me sports or give me death. So, no, we got a great college football game on FS1, and we got a couple college hoops games. You know I love college hoops, so to me, this is fun. This is heaven. It was a fun day today, flipping back and forth. I decided today, Arnie, until we take the Lions off Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is now a college hoops holiday. I will not acknowledge it as an NFL holiday.
Yeah, today was bad. I mean, we had two blowout games, and with no late game, it kind of really took the fun out of, you know, watching football on Thanksgiving. It did, and I heard Rob And Jonah's talking about if the Lions should still be on Thanksgiving. Yeah. I don't know if they should be on every year, but I guess it's okay. I mean, we just had one bad year. It's all talk.
One bad year.
Well, you know, they're always bad, but I mean, it's one bad year where we didn't have one good game or one game we wanted to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, the one that had to get canceled was the one with the two potential playoff teams, the best team in the league this year. And yeah, and like sometimes one, at least the Cowboys are good or at least interesting. I guess they're interesting for a different reason. And sometimes we at least get a decent opponent from one of the two. And listen, I don't think the Texans are as bad as their record would indicate. They've been playing pretty well the last couple weeks, relatively speaking. But yeah, if you got to have two bad teams as the kind of signature teams that always play, you hope they at least get a decent opponent. And we were not given that today.
All right. You want to get in, be part of the show on this Thursday night. Again, hope everybody enjoying their Thanksgiving. It's real simple. Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Ryan Fowler will join us at about 20 past the hour from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Nick Saban's got COVID. He won't be able to be coaching on the sideline for the Iron Bowl. We'll talk to Ryan about that, how it affects the game, how things are going on down there with Coach Saban. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes from now. So certainly be around for that. You know, Torres, last week we started with all the cancellation when we were on Saturday night, our normal slot in college football, and you said, is this what you're going to start with? Is this what you're going to start with? And I felt bad because, you know, everybody was attacking you on Twitter, and I mean, your takes are a little different.
Yeah, I think we should talk sports on the Sports Talk Radio show. Not well, pretend to be virologists, but continue,
but,
I digress.
Well, but again, here it is. No Baltimore-Pittsburgh. We don't even know if we're going to have it Sunday. Lamar Jackson now comes down with COVID. We've seen the cancellation in college basketball. We've seen the cancellation of college football. What was it? USC-Colorado just, what, postponed, canceled? Mm-hmm. It's going to be Colorado and what was it, San Diego State?
Yep.
Or the next team up out there. Is there anything you want to change? Anything you want to say? Or is it still full steam ahead? We'll get it done and we'll maneuver through this as best as we can, because with the snow Baltimore-Pittsburgh, we might have to move that if they can't play Sunday, and they might not be able to with the Lamar Jackson getting COVID. They may push that to week 18. Next thing you know, we might have to have eight teams in the playoffs and go back to that ordeal. What are you thinking?
So, one, I hate that rule. I hate the eight teams in the playoffs.
I love that, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, it's going to give us a quadruple header on back-to-back days, which will be really, really fun. But, you know, the way that I look at it, Arnie, is let me even say this. Instead of freaking out about every positive test and every game that gets moved, especially at the college level, how about we give some credit to some of the teams like a San Diego State, like a Colorado, that had a contingency plan in place and said, we don't want to sit on the sidelines again this weekend. We want to play. Now, it's right. Safety first. We understand that. We don't want teams that aren't able to play stepping on the field if they can pass on the virus. But I do think we have to also, if we're going to freak out about every one of these games that gets postponed, canceled, delayed, whatever, we also have to give credit to the teams that want to play, to the Steelers that are banging the drum saying, why do we keep getting punished for other teams' mistakes?
Well, you're not suggesting there should be a forfeit here. Are you saying that or what?
No, I don't, Arnie. I don't believe so, because what I always say on our Saturday show for people who aren't familiar is, listen, I think, you know, in talking to people around sports, I think we have to acknowledge that we are dealing with a very contagious virus during cold and flu season. And I think we've seen it escalate in terms of the number of cancellations, postponements the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. And everybody thought, oh, it was because of Halloween. Everybody got, no, it's not because of Halloween. It's because it's November. It's because viruses pass around. It's because much of the country is cold and people are more inside now than they were 6 months ago or 4 months ago or 3 months ago. And so it really stinks. But I think you and I have been saying this since April, since we started talking about what were sports going to look like when they came back. The reality is we're in an unprecedented time, and unfortunately, we just have to move forward and play the games that we can safely play.
Do you move the Baltimore Pit? Maybe we should have just canceled it, postponed it, just say, you know what, we're not going to move it to Sunday. It's not going to work out. Maybe week 18, or Baltimore's got to take the forfeit. Sooner or later, somebody's going to have to take the forfeit. Are they not? We can't keep making up all these games. In the NFL, we have to.
Why?
But sooner, because you can't have some teams playing 17 or one less games than the other teams, can you? You can't do that.
See, I disagree. And the way that I look at it, I was thinking about this as I was prepping for the show today.
Yeah.
we are now at a point where literally every other sport has done it. I mean, Major League Baseball had teams play all sorts of different schedules.
Yes, okay.
The NBA, obviously, because of when the season was paused back in March, teams were at a different point. And so some teams didn't even finish their schedule at all.
Yeah, but I could say, I'm sorry, I could say the same thing to you, though, that baseball extended their playoffs. Basketball extended their playoffs. You know, hockey's extended there, so why shouldn't we go ahead and add more teams to the NFL then?
Well, I think to me, first of all, I just think that we shouldn't be penalizing the teams that are like the whole point of playing well for 17 weeks during the regular season is to get a bye going into the playoffs and get that time off. And so that's the only reason why. It's not that I don't want more football, nothing like that, but I just sit here and say I think your broader point is right. At some point, we are going to get to a point where we just can't make up games. We're seeing that at the college football level, and I think it's going to trickle up to the NFL level. And so to me, I just think that we have to live and accept that in this unprecedented year, we might have a couple teams that only play 15 games as opposed to 16. I think by this point, most of the other ones I would think would get in. I don't think we're going to have a situation where teams are only playing 13 games and some are playing 16 at this point. And I just think we have to go by win percentage and understand that college football, the NBA, the NFL, eventually college basketball, it will be an unprecedented situation where everybody doesn't play the same amount of games.
Well, I don't know why you're against eight teams, because if you're a number one seed, you're still going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs until you get to the Super Bowl. That should be enough incentive to finish number one. I don't know why you need a bye week while the other six teams are playing out. I don't think that, to me, is an unfair advantage of major proportion when you're doing that.
Well, but what I was just thinking...
That's why the Patriots dominated. That's why they were a powerhouse for so many years, because all they had to do was win two games to get to the Super Bowl.
But shouldn't you be rewarded for bringing it for 16 straight weeks, 17 straight weeks?
I mean, should be number one. That's good. Your home field through the whole playoffs, isn't that good enough?
Yeah, I just think football is such a physical, violent sport that I do think teams, if you work that hard, you should have the advantage of having a week off to get ready for your opening playoff game. Excuse me. I understand. And by the way, I guess it does work both ways. I'm saying it's an unprecedented year. Maybe this is the year where we have to go to eight. Maybe this is a year where nobody gets that bye. But I personally believe that if you work hard all season, if you win, if you bring it every single week, and we're at a point already, by the way, where two losses might cost you that number one seed in the AFC. So to me, I guess my point does work both ways, but I do think that those teams that have the best record should be rewarded, excuse me, at the end of the season.
I don't know if you know this. We used to only have two football games on Thanksgiving. That's the way it used to be for a long time until we added that third game. Otherwise, we had to suffer through two games like this, you know?
Oh, I know. No, I remember those old days. There were dinosaurs roaming the streets, and there was once the Cowboys was over, the day was over. But
what a dog team. What a dog team.
Oh, my. Don't even get us started on that. Thankfully, we got Ryan Fowler to talk some college football. Real time.
I lived in Dallas and was on the flagship of the Cowboys. I think I lived there 2-3 years. It was like the longest 21 years of my life. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I actually feel bad for the Cowboy fans. I can't believe I'm saying that. What a dog team they are. Unbelievable.
We got so much time to talk about them, but man, they're tough to watch, man. And it was like for 2 or 3 weeks, okay, this thing's sort of trending in the right direction. You're close against the Steelers. The Vikings game goes well. And then, boom, we're running fake punts right into freaking tacklers and stuff. It was tough to watch today.
All right. And some of the calls, like you said, the fake punts. I don't mind going for it on fourth down, but throwing a pass 10 yards downfield, the whole thing was baloney.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to our guest. We got to get to our guest. Host of the game on Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It's Ryan Fowler. Ryan, happy Thanksgiving to you. First things first, how's Coach Saban doing? What's the latest on him?
Well, Coach Saban's got a little runny nose and I guess some mild symptoms. I know when he was on the teleconference yesterday and also doing his Nick Saban show here on our station, he sounds stopped up. So he's got symptoms this time, and it looks like it's probably going to be a true positive, and you know, he's going to be out for the Alabama-Auburn game. And I guess that you look at it, he'll survive. He's in really good health. I mean, he'll make it. I mean, he's just he's a tough old bird, man.
I think I already know the answer to this. By the way, happy Thanksgiving, Ryan. Hope you and your family
had a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say, on a scale of 1 to 10, without Coach Saban on the sidelines, with 10 being code red panic in the streets of Tuscaloosa, how concerned are you about Auburn without Coach Saban on the sidelines?
So 1 would be the least concern?
Yes, yes.
10, okay. Probably a 2, 3.
Ooh.
I mean, listen, you take the guy, the best golf, the sidelines, but, you know, Auburn is a game that is, you know, he's struggled in. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, he's lost 2 out of the last 3 to the Auburn Tigers. If you look at 13 years with Nick Saban, he's 8-5. He's been, and compare that to everybody else. I mean, like, you know, if you look at Arkansas, he's never lost to them, never lost Mississippi State. I mean, you just go through the record, you go through the teams that he plays every year. It's like that's the one struggle that, you know, it's a asymmetrical offense that they throw at Alabama. But I think the one thing is I talked to a couple of people today that were practice, and this is Alabama's MO. This is who they are, is they're not impacted by anything.
Yeah.
Now, they have, you know, they've had a trial run with this where, you know, they put Nick Saban on the loudspeaker and he coaches his players up. And my understanding is that continued this week. And if you would have, you know, you had to actually tell the players that Nick Saban wasn't there. I mean, they're not impacted by anything on that psychological side. I just don't think that this is that big of an impact for Nick Saban not being there.
I think they should have him Zoom on the Jumbotron during the game and just call
it
that way.
It's illegal. The SEC, because, see, that was a, you know, knowing Nick Saban, the last time we went through this, we thought, okay, well, they'll put him in a box and they'll quarantine the box, and, you know, he'll be that, or he'll do like the truck with a Pope in the back, you know, on the sidelines. But we had actually cleared that up that he couldn't even be like communication wise. I think it was 60 or 90 minutes prior to the game that he had to shut it down any electronic communication.
Wow.
So.
Ryan, let me ask you this. So I think, obviously, look, we're all kind of understanding what the schedule looks like. Alabama plays Arkansas next weekend. I guess in theory there's the possibility they could play LSU. In the broader perspective, any concern yet with Florida, which is trending to – at this point, Florida is going to play in the SEC championship game. It's just whether they have a potential playoff berth on the line as a one-loss team. Any concern yet? I assume they're at the very least on your radar from the other division in the SEC.
Well, see, this is the recipe to beat Alabama, and the recipe is you score enough points, you score the same, you equal them offensively, and you find a way to play defensive football. And, guys, I'm not, you know, and Aaron and I talk quite frequently on my show. I wish I could feature Arnie, but he's on in the same time I am in his show. But
Tuscaloosa, you know, thanks you, Ryan, but continue.
No, but you look at the defensive side of the football. I'm not impressed with Alabama's defense this year. I think it's the worst defense under the Nick Saban era. It's awful. They miss a lot of tackles. They get caught in assignments. And that's one of the things. Listen, I'm not here to say that Auburn's going to beat Alabama, but I think the game is going to be closer than the experts think. I mean, they're going to get 24, 25, 25 and a half. This game, to me, Auburn will have success. But you look ahead to the Florida game, which you wanted me to think about, is defensively, this team needs to take a step in the right direction. You know, if you look at Dylan Moses, I think they need to get more out of him. I know he's the leader over there, but he's the Mike linebacker. And last week against a Kentucky team who kind of ran up the middle, Dylan Moses did not record one defensive statistic, not an assist, not a solo, not a tackle for a loss, not a sack, not a quarterback hurry, not a pass breakup, nothing. He had no defensive statistic and played, you know, for a lot of the game. They need more out of Dylan Moses. And I'm sure Dylan would probably tell you that if Nick Saban goes back to the first part of the season, he challenged Dylan to play, you know, that his injury was, he was recovered from it. And I'm sure it's probably in the back of his mind, he's being a little bit hesitant. But Alabama needs to try to find a way to get better on the defensive side of the football. That Florida game, you know, will they be able to slow down Florida? I don't know if they would be. And so then it becomes, you know, this 63-55 type game, and who scores last?
Ryan, are they going to make it to the finish line? I'm not talking just about Alabama. I'm talking college football in general. Are we going to have to add more teams? What about the Cincinnati BYUs? I said, hey, let's play those two teams together. Winner gets to get in the playoffs. How is this going to work out? I'm starting to get concerned that we might not make it to the finish line here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. This is the first week that I've really been concerned about that, too. And it's one of those that I just see so many cancellations, knowing that we don't have flexibility with time. So the only thing that I think, if you can get that through the next couple of weeks and you determine who's the best four teams, and then, you know, at some point, would you put them in a bubble? I mean, would you put the four teams in a bubble for 2 weeks and let's duke it out that way? I mean, you know, it's 2020. Listen, there's nothing going to shock me anymore, but I almost think that college football playoff, the committee and people, and I know Nick Saban is against this because he said it last week talking about extending the playoffs. He said these guys have already been practicing, you know, since August. There's no way to extend it anymore because, you know, these kids are already worn out. But at some point, if you're the college football playoff, don't you have to look at it and say, well, guys, we can't even get 6-7 games in here. We're trying to evaluate this. It just makes sense that maybe they should push it back a couple of weeks and let's say, you know, 2 weeks, and you give the flexibility and you give them the best possible opportunity. Because the other part of this is, to flip Nick Saban, is you don't want to work this hard. And I'm putting words out there to counter what Nick Saban said. You don't want to work this hard and have a championship ripped out of your arms. Now,
right,
that's the part of some of these teams like Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, who have busted their butt and done a lot of things right. You don't want all that sacrifices to be for null either.
Well, and Ryan, that was going to be my question for you. Is I understand the last week or two, Alabama's game against LSU being postponed, all that stuff, that the conversation has changed. But do you get any sense from your listeners, the people that you correspond with, that they're either not as excited about this playoff or this potential playoff championship run, that it would be somewhat tainted? Do you get any sense of that, or is it business as usual for fans and coaches and players in Tuscaloosa?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people say that, you know, maybe this championship would not mean as much. I think it would almost mean more, just because everything that they've had to navigate. I mean, it's just, you know, whoever hoist up the trophy down in Miami Gardens or wherever the, you know, championship will be played at this point. But you look at it, you say – that it's almost like these guys have been able to navigate more. But I do feel like that there's some anxiety, I think, with some of the fans, because you're looking at everything and you're trying to go, okay, are they going to be able to pull this off? Are they going to be able to pull this off? How are they going to be able to pull this off? Now, the one thing that you can kind of maybe add to is now, you know, like Alabama, they've ended classes here. Everything from here on to the end of the semester will be done virtually. So I'm sure that's probably the way all over campuses across the country, that they sent the kids home for Thanksgiving and they will not return. I think that might be a promising part of it, because, you know, just that you limit your exposure, and maybe you can find a way to maybe seal that bubble down a little bit more, as Nick Saban talks, the inside bubble. When you seal that down a little bit more, I'm sure it's going to be a boring campus for a few weeks, but welcome to 2020.
Yeah, exactly. He's Ryan Fowler. You can check him out on the Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Ryan, we appreciate you taking some time with us on your Thanksgiving. Hope you really appreciate it. And love to have you on again, my friend. We'll definitely do it again.
Hey, no doubt. My Cowboys looked awesome today, by the way, man. They were looking great. Thank you guys.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks, Ryan
Fowler.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving, as we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier, sitting in for the guys Jason Smith and his best friend Mike Harmon. They got the night off. Of course, it's a tradition like no other, as Torres and I sitting in again this Thanksgiving. Did you have a good one, Torres? Did you stuff? I was a little tryptophan out earlier.
Ooh.
between the turkey and the cowboy game, that could really knock you out. That was unbelievable, man, you know?
Well, it's actually really funny before you made that cowboy comment. Yeah. So last year, you mentioned this is a tradition. You know,
like
people set their calendars to it. Lions,
it.
Cowboys. we're going to nap through the Lions game so we can stay up for Torres and Spanier on Thanksgiving night. But last year, because we were in this time slot, went up for a second plate and wasn't – well, I went up for a second plate during our dinner time.
Yeah.
Was not feeling good at 10 p.m. Eastern when we came on air. So – today, I paced myself.
That's right. You were sick last year.
No. I got really sick one year. It was actually New Year's Eve.
You called in sick, didn't you?
I got sick New Year's Eve.
Yes, that's it.
Michael Jordan flu game.
So much and you gave some baloney excuse.
No, I didn't drink on New Year's. You're supposed to drink after work on New Year's Eve. We came in. I was in the studio at 5 o'clock and did not feel good, survived that one. But last year, I just ate too much. So this year, I paced myself. I said, no second plate for you, buddy. The pants are fitting a little tight anyway. Yeah. So, and on top of that, you got to work. America needs you in this time of crisis with no Raven Steelers. So get focused. Get your big boy pants on. Hopefully they have an elastic waist and get into the studio.
By the way, did you see the Bud Light commercial with the cardboard cutout of the fan? Did you see that one yet?
I don't pay much attention to commercials.
Oh, it's a good one. You'll love it. You'll have to YouTube it or whatever it is for the Bud Light one. It's like a whole story. I thought commercials are, it seemed like it was like a 3-minute commercial, but it was funny. Well done. It's a good one. You'll like it. I don't think it came out today only. I think it kind of leaked out earlier, but I saw it a couple times today, so I thought maybe you'd seen it.
Yeah, I just wasn't paying too much attention. You know, I'm a big college hoops guy. A lot of college hoops on today, and obviously flipping between two bad football games. So
I've been real nervous about college basketball. You know, up here in Vermont, we had the lowest, new infection rates here. Yet UVM isn't able to play. We're waiting to start conference play with them. They were supposed to go down to Bubbleville and start with everybody else down there, and the teams they were playing backed out too, like Iona. I don't know what happened to, like, St. Bonaventure and Buffalo, but a lot of teams still down there. We still had tons of college basketball today, and we'll have tons tomorrow also, so that's good to see.
Yeah, well, we got Villanova, Arizona State.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought it was funny. We still got an Arizona school on in the middle of a pandemic, Arnie. We usually have your Wildcats. They're on every time that we fill in. So we didn't get Arizona. We got Arizona State, though.
By the way, speaking about what's on TV, of course, we already know that the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game got canceled. I thought NBC, at first they had planned that they were going to rerun the dog show during that slot because the dog show thing was running earlier. Then I turned it on. They were running like old game shows on one and on one of the time slots. You know, obviously they're not going to fill up the whole 3 hours, I don't think, with game shows. I think they should have run like an old Baltimore-Pittsburgh game and tried to fool everybody. You know what I mean? Just put the last time they played it, just put it on there, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could just put on an old game, a classic game. I mean, there had to be something to put on.
Well, does the dog show do that much ratings or old game shows? I got to think an old NFL game. Is that against the rules to do an old NFL game? Who knows? We never really have this type of problem, you know?
No, I know, man. I was hoping that we were going to get some way. And obviously, I understand. Like, I understand you can't move back the Lions or the Cowboys because of the TV network stuff, and you can't move up a game on short notice. But it was a little bit of a bummer.
At least do Chevy Chase National Lampoon Vacation or something like that.
Sure.
Do something. The dog show you're going to rerun that? I don't know if they ever got around to doing that. How about Law & Order? Isn't that like one of your signature shows? We run in Law & Order 3 times in that slot or something like that.
What was the softcore pornography that you were part of back in the day, that movie?
Oh, the Pool Boys. That's right. They could have put that on there.
They could have put that on. It would have been the lowest rating. It was down to the Pool Boys. For people who don't know, there's a movie called Pool Boys where Arnie Spanier is shirtless. It's mortifying. I believe the woman that was next to you was actually very nice looking. So
Simona Fusco. Yes.
Okay.
Big actress.
So Simona, Arnie.
Yeah,
so
they, was, gotta, They're going to rerun that one. That could have been a good. I don't know. Are you allowed to just pick any movie? Do you have to have the rights to that movie? Can you pick any old? Can you run an old NBA game? Well, NBC didn't have NBA, so
back in the day they did. They had the glory years of the NBA.
What are you going to rerun, a glory year game or something like that, or what?
I think a Michael Jordan game probably would have outrated most of the NBA games that actually were on this year.
You don't think about that, wouldn't you? If you were smart, you'd rerun a couple of Michael Jordan games.
There's nothing on anyway.
I don't know. What is going to draw on Thanksgiving night now that the football game got canceled at the last minute? There's got to be something better than game shows and rerunning the dog show, you know?
With Michael Jordan nostalgia at peak levels,
would
have been pretty cool. Like the game six, Byron Russell over the... Well, that's actually a great idea.
But
and it was on NBC.
But you don't want to see the whole game. You just want to see the fourth quarter, right? You don't want to sit through those. So how about just running fourth quarters of, like, Michael Jordan's run with the Bulls when they had their best year or something like that, you know?
I would prefer that to the dog show, and certainly to the pool boy, for sure. So.
I still think running an old Pittsburgh-Baltimore game and just saying, I thought this game was canceled. Ah, well, I guess not. There's people watching. How many people would have watched it thinking it was live? You know what I mean?
Probably a lot. I mean,
yeah, I guess they decided to play, you know?
And I was going to say, between the food, the naps, drinking, I think there were a lot of people that just would have turned it on. If Big Ben was there, they'd be like, oh, this is fun.
I slept till Sunday. What the heck's going on here?
Yeah.
Must already be Sunday out there. You want to get it. Like I said, though, Law and Order would have been great. Yeah, that's your signature show anyway. Might as well go ahead and run that. You want to be part of the show, Aaron_Torres. I'm a stinking genius. One, couple things to start things off. No Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. That game's going to be moved to Sunday, though. If I'm a betting guy, Torres, Lamar Jackson won't even be able to play on Sunday. He came down with COVID. Why do I get the feeling that game's not going to be played Sunday? And if they don't play it Sunday, now you're opening up the whole can of worms. Now you're saying to the NFL, okay, we're going to have to move that to, what do they call that, week 18. We're going to have eight teams in the playoffs. And I get the feeling the NFL wants eight teams in the playoffs. Have you seen the AFC race going on with all the 7-3 and 6-4 teams? I think the NFL this year would like to have that extra team in there. I don't think they're bothered if we have to go ahead and have eight teams and nobody gets the bye week.
Well, you know what the one saving grace is? I was reading up on this eighth playoff spot. If they have to add the eighth playoff spot, it's because obviously at least one or two teams did not complete their season.
Right.
And at that point,
it has to be two. It can't be just one.
But yes. They would then default, because teams wouldn't have completed their seasons, to win-loss percentage for the seedings, which means that the 3-9 Eagles or Washington or whoever would then no longer get a home field game. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
What are they just going to do, 1-8? Well, then, what are we saying? Winning a division doesn't make you in the top four seeds?
It wouldn't make you. You would still qualify for. So this is, again, for people who are confused. So
confusing me.
Okay, so. Yeah. So what we're talking about here is the owner's proposal that if some teams do not complete a full season, then they would add an eighth playoff spot for this one season. Okay. And under that circumstance, because teams wouldn't have all played 16 games, they would rank playoff teams by win percentage.
No.
Yes, they would rank them by win percentage. So division winners would still make the playoff.
Right.
But if, like, the Eagles were 4-9-2 or whatever their final record would be, they would, in theory, I guess, be the 8th seed, and they wouldn't have a home game in the playoffs.
What happens if they just want to move the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game to Week 18? Everybody still plays their same allotted of games, but now they still have to add a team. No. Philadelphia would still get one of the top four seeds. I don't see where you're getting. I didn't hear this. Did I miss something on this? I didn't hear that at all.
This is if they go to eight playoff teams.
I'm saying if they go to eight playoff teams, Philadelphia still gets the benefit of being one of the top four seeds because of winning or whoever wins that division. No, I don't think that's the way it goes. You have to double check that one, my friend.
I will send you the article over the break, and you can determine whether I'm lying to you or not.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just never wrong. I don't know why that would have made a difference. Just because you're taking an extra team, you still got to go ahead and have all the division winners in the top four seeds. I don't see why that makes a difference.
Because at that point, everybody wouldn't have played the same number of games, so you can't go by win-loss record.
Okay, I heard what you said there, but then I said, suppose they move Baltimore-Pittsburgh to that final week. They'll still play, every team will play the same a lot of the games, but the Baltimore-Pittsburgh team game would take place in that first weekend. So now they got to push everything back. Everybody plays their 16 games.
Yeah, that's different.
No, you can't. What's wrong with you? It's different this way to this way, depending if Philadelphia gets.
I said if everybody doesn't finish their season.
I'm calling BS.
You're fired. DeSager, come on. DeSager, you're hosting with me. Thank goodness Arnie didn't give you the night off. We need you the rest of the week. But I'll send you the
article. What I had read is that they would get the 4 seed, the NFC East champion.
Well, yeah, but my understanding, the article that I read would, I don't know what the seeding would be.
Reading is fundamental.
Arnie, you went to Air University of Arizona, okay? It's a community
Ivy League
cup.
School.
Let me
Ivy League. Go ahead.
You two take over. I'm going to Google, do some Google. No, I'm just telling you what I read. I'll send you the article. I could be wrong.
I think you are.
But at that point, everybody wouldn't have completed the same number of games, you can't go on win-loss.
And I hear what you're saying there. It still should make a difference. You got to reward it for winning the division. And if they went by percentage, it still wouldn't make a difference. They would say, okay, this Philadelphia won the division, so they get a top 4 seed. You could look that up. Torres has been drinking. That's what people are sending in on texting right now. Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius.
You want me to read from this article right now?
I think it's too much tryptophan is what you got going in there.
Although every division winner would be guaranteed a playoff spot. This is from CBS Sports. Sports.com. Okay, I look for it on our Fox Sports. Although every division winner would be guaranteed a playoff spot, they wouldn't be guaranteed a first-round home game. To give you, and then they do the thing if the season ended today, blah, blah, blah. Where is it? The first new wrinkle is that teams would be seeded by winning percentage, which means that division winners wouldn't be guaranteed to host a playoff game, according to NFL.com.
Who wrote that?
What's the date of that?
Yeah, who wrote that? I'm calling BS on that.
This is from November 5th, shortly after this rule was passed.
I'm calling
November
BS
10th,
on that.
CBS said that the division winners would
still
get
DeSager,
a home.
You're,
yeah,
you know,
tell him DeSager.
Well, listen, I Googled eight team playoff
structure. I don't think
structure.
That guy knows what he said. Had I said that on the air, I'd been fired by now.
Arnie, you've said way worse on air and haven't been fired, okay?
You said Michigan was the number 4 team in the country a
month
ago.
I never said that. Pete Futek, who's an excellent college football guest, I might add.
By the way, guys, we're not only not till a week 18 yet. We don't even know about this Pittsburgh-Baltimore yet. It's still possible that that could be played on Tuesday, right? They don't want any week 18 games.
Yeah,
they just need the Ravens to go a couple of days without any positive tests.
Yeah, they need Lamar to be healthy is what they need.
And if they played on Tuesday, that would then move the Cowboys, because they play Cowboys Thursday to Sunday or Monday.
That would move.
I can't do this.
But they'll do anything to avoid a week 18 to keep the postseason structure. It's kind of like what baseball. What, we only can play 60 games? Do we still get October?
I disagree with you also. I think the NFL wants to get that eighth team in there because there's a lot of good eighth teams in both leagues, especially the AFC, when it's like Miami and Las Vegas. They would love those guys in there. Completely disagree. I think the NFL would love to have the eighth team in there.
I'm so mad I was duped by an old CBS Sports article. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, the big story today, obviously, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, they didn't get to play. We were stuck with the just horrible games of the Texans and the Lions, which, I mean, even if that was a close game, I was having a tough time swallowing that one down. Followed up by with Washington and the Cowboys, which I thought the Cowboys were going to get a win and start to maybe take a little control of that division, say, hey, look, if anybody's going to win this division with 6 wins, why can't it be us? They really showed how bad they are. I didn't even think. Look, I knew the Cowboys were bad. I didn't know they were this bad. How about that?
Well, that's really saying something.
It is.
And I get that it was a close game, and then, you know, it was 20-16 early in the fourth quarter, and so it's not quite as bad as it looked. But listen, it went back to all of the problems that the Cowboys have had from the beginning. Too many points, turnovers, penalties, sloppy. It was just, they're just not a well-coached football team. They looked underprepared. They don't look like they know what they're doing. They call the worst possible trick plays at the worst times. To me, it's just, they're just a very poorly coached football team. That's the best way I can put it.
Fake punt was atrocious.
Yes.
Didn't even come close. That's one of the worst fake punts I've ever seen in my life. The fourth down play call, not the fact that they went for it, I was okay with the first one, but to throw it, what, 7 to 10 yards downfield and have a penalty on the play, atrocious.
Yep. Well,
I mean, it was like they can't do anything right. They're a laughing stock. The Cowboys are a laughing stock like the New York Jets are. That's how bad they are right now.
Well, it was funny because the play you're referencing, I was on the couch with my stepdad. We were watching the game, and he said, oh, they're just going to force him offside. You know, they're going to try to draw him offside.
Right,
and
right.
I said, yeah, maybe. And then when they run, and then, oh, they're snapping the ball. Oh, that was what they ran. So, again, it just speaks to a team that is not well coached. They're going in the wrong direction every week. And you're right, Arnie. They are a laughing stock. It gets worse every week. You can't keep making excuses. It can't all be about not having Dak. It can't be about this guy got injured. At some point, you just stink. And they stink. And
yeah, but even if you have crappy coaching, isn't it up to the players? Sooner or later, after all those years of Jason Garrett and eight and eights, sooner or later, even if you've got an average coach, shouldn't you be good enough to win and make a run at things, right? I mean, can't you win in spite of your coach, or it doesn't work that way?
I mean, they went, 14-2 a couple years ago. So, I mean, yes, you can. But I think that in this particular case, what I believe is happening with the Cowboys is the coach is mediocre and the players are regressing to his level, essentially. Is that I don't know if it's an undisciplined practice, what's going on behind the scenes, but you can't blame the players when it's things that are coaching mistakes that are costing them, which is penalties. It's dumb stuff like that. It's turnovers.
Whose fault is that?
No, see, to me, turnovers are a coaching thing. That is stuff that gets worked on Monday through Friday, and you're either good at it or not. The best coaches, they worry about the littlest details. I remember reading about Urban Meyer, Pete Carroll. These are guys that focus on things like turnovers, focus on things like making sure that you're not penalized. And so, to me, you could say, yeah, the players are on the field.
Yeah, penalties is on the players.
I disagree. I think it's a discipline thing, and I think it starts in the film room, in the locker room, Monday through Saturday, not what happens on Sunday or Thursday.
You should never be drawn offsides if you're a player on defense. Never, ever, if you have discipline, and that comes within yourself. Not you can't look.
Disagree.
You jump off sides. You can't look at the coach and say that's on you. What's wrong with you, Tori?
Why are the same teams there every single year? Part of it is they have talent, but part of it is they're well coached. Sean Payton got a win yesterday with his third string quarterback. Bill Belichick, I know he's struggling this year, but had a great year with Matt Castle, had a great couple games with Jacoby Brissett. At a certain point, coaching does matter, and I just think that it can be a trickle-down effect of if this stuff doesn't get fixed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because, Arnie, you can blame it on the players, and I don't disagree. Zeke Elliott, hold on to the ball. I get that. But when you're doing it time after time after time after time, it goes back to what we were talking about, Carson Wentz in hour number two. I mean, is that the coach's fault? Is it the player's fault? It's obviously a ton on Carson Wentz's plate, but it's got to be corrected. And if it's not corrected, you sit his butt on the sideline. Same with Zeke Elliott. Same with all these guys that are getting drawn off sides or whatever. And so to me, I think, yes, individually you can blame the player, but I do think collectively you have to blame the structure that Mike McCarthy has put in place.
Well, I'm going to move on because I'm going to move on from Dak. I have 3 wins. My team's a mess. I've overpaid for my running back. I'm not going to overpay for my quarterback in $40 million a year. Now, coming back from that major injury, I'm no closer to winning a Super Bowl than I've been in the last decade or two. I'm going to punt. I can't continue throwing money at 2 or 3 guys and having too many holes on my defense and on my offensive line. I've got to regroup and spread things out and get myself another quarterback that's young and that can build with me.
I got good news for you.
Yeah.
Zeke Elliott is only guaranteed money through 2026. So don't worry.
That's all he's going to get it to then.
No, man, it's crazy. Listen, I'm not sure that I would get rid of Dak because you paid everybody else and you have this window. Now, the question becomes 2 things. 1, do you bring in a new coach? Because Mike McCarthy is clearly not the answer. But then 2, the point that you keep bringing up, which I think is the right one, is what does Dak Prescott do this offseason? He cannot go to the negotiation table. The team was whatever, 1-3 with him, 2-3 with him, whatever they were. They were 1-3 when he got hurt. They ended up winning the game he got hurt.
Right.
You can't go to the negotiation table at 1-3.
Yeah, you can.
Well, you're a bad negotiator then. As a radio host, do you go to the negotiation table and demand a raise when your ratings are at an all-time low?
No, but you could say, look what the ratings were, look what the team has been since I've been gone. It's certainly, obviously, they're half the team I was.
They were 1-3 with them. They won the game.
You're just going by this year, though.
Yeah, and they missed the playoffs last year, and they missed the playoffs the year 2 out of 3 years or whatever.
You're not thinking he's a bad quarterback, though, are you? He was having some big numbers, though, this year before he got hurt.
It just goes to what we have talked about for years now, Arnie. Of course he's not a bad quarterback. He's an excellent quarterback, but he's not being asked to be paid as an excellent quarterback, right, a good quarterback. He's being asked to be paid Jared Goff, Carson Wentz kind of money. And by the way, those guys are overpaid too. But just because Jared Goff got overpaid, just because Carson Wentz got overpaid, doesn't mean the Cowboys have to make the same mistake.
Same amount of money, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
Probably Lamar Jackson.
But you don't say that very confidently.
Well, I mean, you know,
one guy was an MVP, and probably the MVP.
Yeah, so I would take Lamar Jackson. Well, I feel like we're living, you know, I'm trying not to live in the moment with Lamar. But Dak, like, look.
You have to, though.
Yeah. I mean, Dak did get to the playoffs twice, but I don't know, man. I mean, I would take Lamar.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
I would take Lamar.
Take Lamar, too, but I wouldn't be too confident in it.
But what I also would say is it goes back to me what we have talked about with Dak for a year and a half, which is, it's not an insult to take $31, $32 million a year. You don't have to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. I know with Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to be. But like at a certain point, you know, Colin Cowherd always says, read the room. And it's like, you're a really good quarterback. You had one good year. Since then, 9-7, 10-6, 8-8. That doesn't sound like the highest paid quarterback in football to me. Doesn't mean you're bad. Doesn't mean, by the way, you can live pretty well off $30 million a year, yeah, Arnie. And Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're right about that. Sometimes you could take $32 million. I like the point when they go, well, I've got a limited life expectancy, limited time in the NFL, and I've got to make every dime I can. Well, you'll make $150 million instead of $170 million. That doesn't even bring up incentives and bonuses and commercials and endorsements and stuff like that, being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Believe me, we're not feeling bad for you.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I remember talking with you about this before, but, you know, we all saw the news. I mean, Tony Romo signed for $17 million a year to be the face of CBS football over there. And Troy Aikman's doing well for himself. Jason Witten somehow got a job in the booth he was so bad he had to unretire to go play again. But being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and they have won under him, not to the level that fans want, I get that. But, like, to me, I just sit here and say, like, and we'll see what happens when the negotiations actually ramp back up again. But it's like, man, dude, you just got to read the room, know what the value of a $30-plus million a year contract is. As you said, Arnie, know what the value of being the Cowboys quarterback is, and I hope he makes the smart decision.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.